We're on Dalet Amid Beis, 4b2, the middle of the place, the middle of the page. Okay, the Gemara said before that a number of Tanoim, like he brought down, Rabbi, Rabbi Yudah ben Reis, Beishami, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Kiva, all of them hold, you go by the way it's read, not by the way it's written. And the Gemara brought out the machlekes of each one. Afterwards, the Gemara refuted it, because it says, Le'sevashel gedi b'chalei, right? And you can read it, Chelev. So obviously, everybody holds you go by the way it's written. It's read. So how could you say there's an argument? So the Gemara changed its mind, meanwhile, and said, everybody holds you go by the way it's read. All these arguments, we had somebody that goes by the way it's written. That's what we learned before. So the Gemara answered each one by one. So now the Gemara is speaking about Rab Shimon and Rabbanan. Okay? Now what was the argument the Gemara brought down before? About a sukkah. Okay? Rab Shimon holds you need two sukkahs properly, two walls, and the third wall, a tefach, is enough. And the Chachamim hold, no, you need three walls and a tefach to make a kosher sukkah. And the Gemara explained what was the argument. Because Rebbe the Chachamim hold, you go by the way it's read. Now, it's read, three times the Torah uses the word sukkos. Okay? You pronounce it sukkos, plural. So therefore he says, sukkos, sukkos, sukkos. One sukkos you need for itself. That's what the Gemara was saying before. So you have two sukkos that you read plural is four. Comes Aloch al-Meshem Messina that takes off one wall and makes it only a tefach. So if a chum holds from that, you go three and a tefach. Reb Shimon holds, you go by the way it's written. Okay? It's written without a vav. So therefore, you're left with four. Because one is with a vav, two are without a vav. So that's altogether four. And Aloha Meshimasina takes away one, which makes it
three
and a tefach. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. So now the Gemara...
Wasn't it the other way around? That Rav Shimon said three and Rabbanan said two?
No, Rav Shimon... I'm sorry. You're right. I said the wrong way. But the same thing. Shtayim kolchos and shlish efil. The Chachamim hold two and a tefach, and Rav Shimon holds three and a tefach. Okay. Now he says like this. Rav Shimon and Rabbanan b'okim efil. So now the Gemara changes his mind and says everybody holds you go by the way it's read. If everybody holds by, you go by the way it's read, then it should be three walls in the tefach. So he says like this, Reb Shimon Savar Svacha Leboikra. You don't need one word but for itself to teach me you cover it. Because it's understood, a sukkah is tzchach. That's what the sukkah is all about. So therefore, the Reb Shimon is going to hold all four walls are needed to teach me four walls. Comes along Aloch al-Meshem Sinai, you take off the fourth wall, that everybody agrees. Aloch al-Meshem Sinai made the last wall a tefach instead of a whole wall. But Rabbanan Savri, Zeracha Boikra, you do need a pasuk. Therefore, only three of the word sukkahs teach us about the walls. And then Aloch al-Meshem Sinai comes and says the third wall is only a tefach. So according to the Chacham, you have two walls and a tefach. Okay, that's the way the Gemara explains it. And then the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbanan, over there's another argument the Gemara brought down before. Now, over there, we learned a revius of dam, a revius of blood from a dead person, makes everything in the room tameh. What with the tent? That's what we learned last time. Rabbi Kiva holds from two bodies, also a kazayas is enough, a revius or a kazayas is enough from two bodies, and the Chacham held, no, it has to come from one body. Okay? And the Gemara discussed, the argument is, do you read it nafshes? It's written without a vav, but do you read it with a vav, and so on and so forth. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva Rabbanan b'ha pligi. Rabbi Kiva sover, when it says nafshes, because again, you go by the way it's written. Tarti mashma, nafshes, plural, the way you read it, is two dead bodies, which means even two dead bodies can combine to make a revius of blood to make the house tummy. But Rabbanan Tzav, Rabbanan say no. Nafshes, when it says Nafshes, it doesn't mean in this particular case. It means bodies in the world. But really, one body needs to produce a revius of blood to make the house Tomei, not from two bodies. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, you read the word plural, and therefore two bodies can also combine to make a revius of blood to make the house Tomei. Okay, that's the, okay, now the Gemara starts a new thing. Now the Gemara asks like this. So now the conclusion of the Gemara is, everybody holds, you go by the way it's read. Because otherwise you read Chelev Imay instead of Chalev Imay. Okay. So now the Gemara asks, Udukula Alma Yashem Lamikra. Does everybody hold you go by the way it's read? It's not true. But Tanya, it says in the Braisa like this. By Tefillin, it says Teitofes, Teitofes, Teitofes. You know, in Shema, we say, Vayula Teitofes, Beinenecha Teitofes. Now, the first time, okay, it's spelled without a vav, second time without a vav, and the third time with a vav. Now,
no.
What?
Here it says the first time is with a vav.
No, it's not.
Hmm?
No. Huh? Whatever. That's not what it says here, though. It says, Teitafes, Teitafes, the first time is spelled without a vav, the second without a vav, and the third time with a vav. It doesn't really matter. What's the difference? Harei kan arva, divrei bishmo. In other words, like this. Ukshartem leis hayedecha, v'hoyu l'teitafes beinenecha. The word teitafes. Now, we know the head tefillin have four boxes. The head tefillin is four compartments, right? Even inside, it's separate, not like the yad, that it's one box, one compartment, and all four parshiyos are written on one long piece of parchment. The head tefillin, we know, if you look at tefillin, you see, there's four compartments, okay, and then they're just stuck together to make it a square. How do we know you need four boxes for the head tefillin? How do we know? What do we see in Chumash that the head tefillin is four boxes? So there's going to be an argument between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva now. Rabbi Shmuel says, you know where we learn it means four? Because it says Teitafes, okay? Now, Teitafes twice is written singularly, and the third time is written plural. Now, plural is two, singular, and singular is four. So Rabbi Shmuel says, how do we know the head tefillin need four boxes? Because it says, teitafes singular, twice is two. Then it says, teitafes plural, which is another two. So you have four.
The word teitafot, even without a vav, when you're saying it's singular, isn't it actually plural? Teitafot means?
Because it's read that way, but it's not written that way. That's what the Gemara is going into. It's written without a vav, which would mean singular. What makes the word plural? The vav. So in the Siddur, I mean...
So how do we learn tefillin for itself?
One minute. That's the argument that's going to come now. Between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Here.
What page?
Here, it should be a reminder between your eyes. The first place in Shema, it says teitof is singular. The second place of Shema, it says without the vav.
It has the first vav, it doesn't have the second
one. Huh?
The second place has the first vav, not the second.
Yeah, not the second vav. And then they, in Kadoshti Kobachoy, you have the third one. Here. Okay? So therefore, the Gemara learns, according to Rabbi Shmuel, how do we know a head tefillin has four boxes? Because it says, teitafes, teitafes, it's written singular, even though it's pronounced plural. It's written singular, and the third teitafes is plural.
In Kaddish, how many teitafes? There are more than one.
One. It is twice in Shema, once in Vahafta. Look. Once in Vahayim Shemaya, here. Shartum leitza yedacho v'ayilu teitof is beininacha. Then in Vahayim Shemaya you have Ukshartum eisem leitza yedchem v'ayilu teitof is beininachem. In Kaddishli one time, no, it says zikorim beininacha the first time. It speaks about tefillin twice in Kaddishli. But at the end, it only says again, look at my place. Here. Only at the end does it say, before it says, V'hoyu l'cho l'eis ha'yotch u'l'zikorim b'ineinechem. The second time, at the last pasuk is, l'eis ha'yotch u'l'teitofes b'ineinechem. So it says three times the word teitofes. That's a given. So, according to Rabbi Yishmael, yeah, twice is singular, once is plural. So that teaches us, you have four boxes in that tefillin. One minute, Rabbi Kiva, that siddur doesn't mean anything. Rabbi Kiva Eimer, ain't a tzarech. You don't need that. Why? Tat bekatve shtayim. Tat itself means two in that language, in Kaspi language. Pas ba'Afrika shtayim, and pas in African, in the language of the African region, also means two. So Rabbi Kiva says a simple thing. The word teitafa is b'nei necha. Even if it be written once, just the word teitaf is with or without, it doesn't matter. Tat is two, pas is two. So when it says teitaf, it means automatically four. Okay? Now, what do you see from here? That according to Rabbi Shmuel, what do you go by? The way it's written. It's written twice without a vav, and once with a vav. So Rabbi Shmuel holds, you don't go by the way you read it. You go by the way it's written. Singular, singular, plural.
Rabbi Akiva also.
Rabbi Akiva doesn't discuss that whole thing. Rabbi Akiva says, Teitafis itself, when the Torah says Teitafis, that word itself means four. Tat is two and pas is two. So Rabbi Akiva is not going into the way it's written, plural, or the way it's read. But Rabbi Shmuel, you see, clearly holds, you go by the way it's written. And the Gemara just came to the conclusion that everybody goes by the way it's read, not by the way it's written. So the Gemara says, you're right. Okay, change our minds again. Ela'elam pligi. There is an argument. Do you go by the way it's read or by the way it's written? But when? He says, Hani mili ki pligi, but when do they argue? Heira de shani krami mesedes. When it's written and spelled differently, if you read it and you write it. Meaning like this. What was the Gemara's problem that forces the Gemara to say everybody goes by the way you read it? Because le sevashel gadi b'chalei v'imei. Okay? So over there, you can't read a chalev imei in the fats of its mother. We read it, milk of its mother. Right? Because you go by the way the word is written. So that forced the Gemara to say, everybody goes by the way it's written. And you read it. By the way you read it. The Gemara says, you're right. It depends. If the spelling is exactly the same, and you go by the way it's written or read, you definitely go by the way it's read. That everybody agrees. So, Chelev and Cholov are written exactly the same way. Ches, Lamed, Beis. So then everybody says you go by the way it's read. You don't read it Chelev. You read it Cholov. Lo sevashel gadi b'chalev ime, in the milk. You don't read it Chelev, fats. But when the words are spelled differently, like Teitofes, with a vav, without a vav, Sukkos, with a vav, without a vav, this, then you're right. Then there's an argument. What do you go by? The way it's read or the way it's written? So now the Gemara is saying as follows. There is an argument throughout Torah whether you go by the way it's written or by the way it's read. But if the spelling is the same in both ways, reading it and writing it, then you go by the way it's read. That's what the Gemara's conclusion is.
And that's a traditional from Sinai?
Yes.
Again, Rabbi, in a different language, if multiple places is
written, what?
If different places in the Torah, is the same word is written differently, you have to go by.
Then you have an argument. Some people say you go by the way it's written. Some people go, you go by the way it's read. But if the spelling of the two is exactly the same
everywhere,
yeah, everybody would say, but you could read it one way or read it a different way, then everybody says you go by the way it's read.
What about grammatic considerations? Like, b'chalev imo wouldn't make sense b'chalev b'chalev imo.
Why not?
In the, I mean...
No, it's v'ashe gudi b'chalev b'chalev imo. Sure.
Because milk, you could put something in the milk and cook it, as use it as liquid and cook with it. That's grammatically correct. You can't put meat of the gudi in the unkosher fat.
The Gemara is going to say that statement that you just said, the Gemara is going to say in five lines.
One more question.
What?
Okay. And also, why is the Torah using an African?
Why is a Nechi an Egyptian?
To elevate the language. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Okay. We find that many times. The Gemara says, Kira by the grave of Yaakov. And the Gemara says many times the Torah spoke words in different languages.
But why? Well, I mean, it's...
Sometimes you just have a better word in foreign language.
The Gemara says that Yaakov was punished, that two Aramaic words were added because of what Lavan said.
You guys said this? I don't know if he was punished, it says. I don't remember.
If it's so bad to have not... Hebrew language in the Torah. Why
but when the Torah writes it, it becomes Hebrew. The Torah has taken this. Anech is a Hebrew word today. Anech is a Hebrew word. It originated in Egyptian, but it became elevated to Lashon Kodesh.
By the same token, if Pat and Tat is 2 and 2,
yeah.
Why isn't it 12 partitions? Because Pat and Tat is repeated.
No, because the Torah is. Yeah, but according to Rabbi Kiva, the Torah has to say three times because it says it three times. For whatever reason it is. Every time it's a different reason. One more, for instance. One time the Torah writes, V'ha'ya la'is al yodcha. Yeah? Now how do you spell yodcha? With a lang chav. With a long chav. Over there the Torah writes it, Yud dalet chav hei. By the way, that's how we learn out the tefillin goes on the left hand. Yad, no, Yod Cho, Yud Dal Chofe means Yad Keha, the weaker hand. How do we know? Because a lefty puts it on the right. Right, the righty puts it on the left. Where do you learn this out from? Because one time when the Torah is, in that same part, the last pasuk in Kaddish Li, yeah? Here. The last time it says, V'hoyo lo'eis al yodcha, it's spelled yud dalet chafei. From there, the Gemara learns out that which hand do you put it on? Yad keha, the weaker hand. So if you're a righty, the left hand is weaker. If you're lefty, the right hand is weaker.
In case of ambo?
Ambidextrous, it goes by the way you write.
The way you write?
Uh-huh. Unless, if you write with one hand, and do everything else with the left hand. You know, the weird guys. This is a very famous argument between the Alter Rebbe and the Tzemach Tzedek. And it's unclear who we paskin. Like some people say, you paskin like the Alter Rebbe. Some people say, the paskin like the Tzemach Tzedek. There was a story with the Rebbe involved with this, with somebody, whatever. But it's a big machlekes in the previous generation, Chabad Rabbanim. The big ones I'm talking about, the big Chabad Rabbanim, if it's, you go, because the Alter Rebbe holds, you go only by writing. If you write with your right, and you do everything else with the left,
you put
then the Alter Rebbe holds you're right-handed. If you write with the left and do everything else with the right, the Alter Rebbe holds you're left-handed. Tzemach Tzedek argues, it says, if you do some with the right, some with the left, you go by writing. But if you write with one hand and everything else with the other, Tzemach Tzedek says you don't go by writing.
Those days there were a lot of illiterate people. How would they pass?
What?
People who didn't even know how to write.
No, but they take a pen, you could draw. Kids also don't know how to draw, but you draw, take a pen.
But you have the feeling, even though you do everything else with the left and you write with the right.
Doesn't matter. Because the Torah by tefillin, why don't you go by writing? Because look, ukshartam leisay dachavayu lo tetov is beininacho, uchsaftam amezuz is beisacho. So the Gemara learns out, you go by ksiva. The only question is, what happens if you do everything else with the opposite hand? So that's a big machlekes in poskim.
So the pasuk is clear, it's by writing hand.
Yeah, but some poskim hold, that's only if you don't do everything, mamish, everything else. But even if a guy, let's say, would write with his right hand and eat with his right hand. Even though everything else he does with his left hand, he throws, he hits, whatever. Yeah, he's still right hand because he's not doing everything with the left hand. And vice versa.
Must be everything
but writing. You know where I have that case, by the way? I'll tell you where you have that case. Years ago, in Russia, I know other countries, this is what I heard from my in-laws, in Russia, writing left-handed meant you were mentally off. So they would train the kids to write with the right hand. You should train the kids to write with the right hand.
Mm-hmm. If they would write with left, they would
hit them.
Yeah.
So their batim were left-handed people. Why, by the way, left-handed kohenim? Nobody's a kohen here. Left-handed kohen couldn't work in the base of mikdash. It was considered a blemish. One of the blemishes of a kohen, the Rambam writes, is iter yad. If you're left-handed, kohen cannot work in the base of mikdash. Okay. In fact, my wife told me that. My wife is interesting. She's left-handed, and she writes with her left hand, except on the board when she was a teacher, and they used to write on the boards, not like today. You press buttons. When they used to write on the board, when she was a kid, and whenever she went up to write on the board in school in New York, she would take the chalk to write in the left hand. The teacher would hit her hand and make her write with the right hand. So she writes on the board with the right hand, on paper with the left hand, it's an identical writing, and she can't do the opposite.
Wow. Well, she can't do that.
She can't write on the board with her left and on paper with her right.
It's proven that it makes them smarter people.
Oh, okay, I heard that one already. That's what my wife tells me, yeah.
Yeah.
She convinces me, yeah.
Yeah, the right and left brain.
They use both sides.
But anyway, that's
like
the...
this. You can't do the opposite.
No, but it's interesting because years ago, so then you have a problem if you write with one, you know. But so therefore, many people were trained to write with their right hand, even though they were really left-handed.
That was the case in Russia?
No, I'm saying in Russia, they made you write with the right hand, no matter what, because it was considered a blemish.
In Iran, the same.
So in your wife's situation, what hand does she put up to fill in?
She puts on both. She's very firm. Okay, now the Gemara asks you this. By the way, there are some Lubavitchers, because of the machlekes between Alter Rebbe and Semach Tzedek, they daven with tefillin on the left hand. After davening, they put tefillin, the Rashi's tefillin, on the right, and say Shema, and they do the same thing with Rabbeinu Tam's.
Wow. So four times?
They put on four tefillin, twice Rashi and twice Rabbeinu Tam, one on each end. Because of the machlekes, that's what they do. I know people that do that.
Without the bracha.
No, once the first time with a bracha, and then, yeah, Rabbeinu Tam anyway is no bracha.
But it must be writing and everything else. That makes it conclusive. I mean, it must.
No, then the Alter Rebbe holds you go by writing, some of the codes you don't.
But the
what's funny, what's very interesting is the Tzemach Tzedek in the Tshuva doesn't quote Alter Rebbe at all. And this question, why doesn't he? I mean, whatever.
They saw each other.
Raised him.
No, I know, but I mean,
he raised Alter Rebbe raised some of.
But was he old enough to be able?
Yeah, he was old enough
to be able to.
Yeah. What?
4 years ago, they came up with a dictionary of a language that is extinct now. That was in the region of Great Syria now.
No.
That was very much like Hebrew, and that gives Hebrew scholars their perspective about some of the wordings that we don't quite understand.
Okay.
Okay.
Now,
the Rebbe was involved with the machloket. So, what did the Rebbe say?
It's a question more. What the Rebbe said. There was a guy that wrote into the Rebbe when he became bar mitzvah. He was a guy that, I don't remember what, he wrote with one hand and did everything else with the next. So the Rebbe sent him out to an older Lubavitcher Rav. Okay? When he came to the old Lubavitcher Rav, the Lubavitcher Rav asked the Rebbe what to do. He asked the Rebbe, who do we pass like that? The Rebbe said, Mochzarek. So according to that story, the way that story is told, the Rebbe told him the Tzemach Tzedek. But others question the validity of the story and the whole thing. It's a whole issue.
Makes sense, because we're after the later generation.
In certain things we go later, in certain things we pass on it to Rebbe. It's funny, whatever. Okay, anyway, the Gemara says like this. Next. So now the Gemara says the statement like this. If the words are spelled the same way, you go by the way it's read. The traditional way it's read, right? If it's spelled differently, then you have an argument. You go by the way it's written and by the way it's read. So it says, he shall see or he shall be seen. The Gemara is going to soon say what the pasuk is. The chiyadah dininu, where the word yira and yira. Yira means he should see. Yeira means he will be seen. It's the same spelling. Yira means you will see. Yeira means he will be seen. The chiyadah dininu, it's written identical spelling, and yet upliga they argue. It says the Tanya we learned in the Braisa Yechanim ben Dahavoy Aimim Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Yechanim ben Dahavoy says the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Hasum be'echad me'enov potem in Ariya. A person who's blind in one eye does not have to go up to the Beis Hamikdash for Yom Tov. Like this is a chi of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. You have to go up. Yira kol zechurcha. Okay, the pasuk says Yira kol zechurcha. All your males should be seen. Okay? So he holds, if you're blind in one eye, you're not obligated to go up to the basement. Why? Shenema yira yira. The pasuk says yira. And it's written yira'em. Yeah? Kederech shabolira is meaning. Just like Hashem comes to see you, so Hashem should be seen. Okay?
Hashem has two eyes.
Now, Ma'a lira is b'shtayin, of just like Hashem comes with full vision, so to speak. So the same thing, af lira is to be seen, meaning that Hashem should be seen through you, b'shtayin over two eyes. Meaning like this. He says, it's written really yira. It's pronounced yira. And it's exactly the same spelling. Right? Which means, what should you go by only? Yeirah, the way you're coming to be seen. He holds this Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, Kederech shebo lirois, kach bo lirois. The same way Hashem comes to see you, you should be seen by Hashem. You should see Hashem, because Hashem will be seen. You said, Yeirah calls chucha as pene Hashem. They will see the face of God. Right? Now, that means, just like God comes to see you, God has perfect vision, 20/20 in both eyes. He comes to see you with both eyes. The same way, you need to see God with two eyes. Therefore, if you're blind in one eye, the Torah relieves you from the obligation. And over there, it's spelled and written the same way. So why does it say Yira and Yira? It should only be Yira, because that's the way it's read. Why does he use the word Yira to be seen, to see? The Gemara changes the whole thing now. You're right. They argue always. What's the story B'chalev and B'cholov? So now what is what you said? Amekra le'sevashel gedi. When the Torah says don't cook a goat in its mother's milk, it cannot mean fats. It cannot mean the fats of the mother. Why? Because fats is frying, not cooking. Cooking is with liquid. Frying, what do you, when the schmaltz, when you cook with fats, before oil, they cook with the fats. Yeah? That's frying, it's not cooking. There's not enough liquid. So when the Torah says, le sevashel gedi, it must mean milk. It can't mean the fats of the mother, because fats of the mother is not called cooking.
There's no way out of this.
There's no way out of it. It has to be milk. So you're right. Even if it's, this is the conclusion of the Gemara, by the way. It doesn't matter if it's written the same spelling, not the same spelling. There's an argument throughout Torah. Do you go by the way it's read, or do you go by the way it's written? What do you have by the goat with the mother's milk? Over there, it must mean milk. It can't mean anything else. Because once the Torah uses the word cooking, it must mean liquid. And liquid is milk, not fats.
Lamb has a lot of
what does it have to do? I mean, but you can't use the word cooking on fat.
And this word chaylev always means unkosher fat, or
chaylev by definition is unkosher fat. There's shuman and chaylev. Shuman is the kosher fats. Chaylev is the non-kosher fats.
Is it because that creates another?
Is it because you have to burn on a mizbeach? That's why we're not allowed to
eat it. It's basically exerce a kosuf. I mean, you have to. It's illogical. After illogical, fine, now because this, that, but it's not a logical mitzvah. No.
Even if you didn't have this grammatical discrepancy, the pasuk would still not make sense in chaylev.
Why?
Chaylev is already also. So what's the Torah?
The actual just cooking itself. Cooking.
I mean,
just the actual cooking is a sin. That's what it would be.
The actual cooking
is an
avodah. I know.
Okay, now the Gemara is going back to Besdin stuff.
So if it's baking, it's patur?
Huh?
If it's baking, it's... No, it's not. I mean, if it's...
No, the Gemara learns out from Bishul any type of... Because of the three times.
So, frying also?
Frying also. Yeah, but that's from the three times, the fact that...
The three times...
Three times teaches us a lot of dinim. Number one, you can't cook it. You can't eat it, and you can't benefit from it. It also teaches not only cooking, but frying and baking and roasting and all that. It also teaches us that if you take a cheeseburger, yeah, and you have the hamburger and you put a slice of cheese over it, it's also awesome, even though you're not, but you're eating it together.
So just said with regard to frying is the problem.
Yeah, but from the extra expressions, the Torah says three times, it's more than enough.
So it's not... Okay, so Rashiel is regarding this issue.
But when the Torah used the word Bishul, it can't mean Chalev. It has to mean Cholev. Now the Torah uses the extra words the three times, so we learn out different dinim. But that the Pasuk itself cannot mean fats. Because if it's fats, it's not Bishul.
That's brilliant. I mean, the brilliance comes out.
I think Gemara is more brilliant.
So you can't own a McDonald's.
You can't own a McDonald's, but you can have stock in McDonald's.
That's very good stock.
You can't
to own good stock.
You can't own a franchise.
You can't own a franchise.
Unless one thing, I think one.
By the way, it's a bigger shaila. Jews that want to learn how to become chefs,
They
don't go to the culinary schools. Yeah, so in New York they have from schools. Mamish from schools. But you go to a normal culinary school here, all the cooking is meat and milk today. Everything is, you always put the milk in the meat. Look at all the recipes, what you hear, it's always meat and milk together. And the just cooking it, even if it's not yours, you're not eating it, you can't. So if you're going to be a cook in the kitchen, McDonald's, or any tray for restaurant, yeah? Anything you're doing, besides the fact that you might taste the food. In other words, even if it's a tray for a restaurant that has no milk, yeah? But you can't work in a kitchen because you're going to taste the food. It's mama's tray, for you're not allowed to work there. But I'm saying you can't even go to a culinary school because you're mama's sinning every time you cook. In New York, they have mama's from school, a bunch of them already. From schools.
How smelling it?
Huh?
Smelling
it. If you enjoy the smell, it's benefiting. Smell, you make a bracha on smell, you benefit from smell.
Like barbecue
or their food? No, barbecue is not. I mean, if you walk by, first of all, most of them stink terribly when you walk by.
No, but the pizza store you pass by.
Pizza store is not meat the mill, but you
what
know.
What do you mean? They put pepperoni.
Okay, so you're not allowed to go.
No, I mean, so no, you're passing by.
What do you do, Pesach?
Yeah.
You walk by a bakery on Pesach. You can't sit there and go, it's good. That you're not allowed to do, but you walk by, what are you supposed to hold your nose? I mean.
It's like a trap restaurant when you smell it.
You go by these catering trucks.
Yeah, exactly.
They're disgusting.
Yeah, those are.
Nah, okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Dine Maman is Bishleisha. Okay, now we learned before in the Mishnah, and this goes in another aspect of judges. The Mishnah said, monetary cases, you need three people. Okay, we're on Hey Amid Aleph, 5A1. Vibad, Vimhoya, Mumchel Rabim, if he was a widely accepted expert, Mumcha means an expert, Dona Fili Yechidi, you could judge even individually. Okay? That means, even though the Mishnah says you need three to judge monetary cases, but if a guy's a Mumcha, the one's going to say a case of this one, say, I'm an expert. If he's a well-known scholar that's accepted, not only accepted, you can accept any yukul, that they're known for their brilliance, even an individual mumcha could do it. For instance, Amar Av Nachman, Kageina no don din imamun is biyachidi. Me, I could judge individual by myself. By the way, in Pirkei Avos it says, Al tidon yachidi, which means, and that's Pirkei Avos. Even though the Gemara says halachically you could, milse de chasidusa is you shouldn't. But I'm saying here the Gemara is talking halacha. V'chein amir abchia kagein anod don dini mamonis biyachid. I can judge dini mamonis alone. Okay, so now the Gemara is asking, what does that mean?
He just came from Iran.
Yeah, he looks like it. Borilo, he just got off the boat 13 years ago, but he just got off the boat.
That's why we want in Iran. It's the effect of
visiting. You need to get those big trays.
The Cholan trays.
Okay, let's go. Iboil, now the Gemara says like this. When Rav Chi and Rav Nachman said, like me, what do they mean, like me? What was their quality that they had that they said to me? So he says, Iboilu, Kugaina, no, the Gemara, did he mean, like Rav Nachman Rav Chi, because I have a lot of knowledge about it, Usvirna, and I'm able to analyze it? In other words, there's two things. You need to know, have a lot of knowledge, and also you need the analytical. Some people are like photographic memory, but they have no analytical ability. And I got permission from the head of Galus, Reish Galus, I'll explain in a second. But if I didn't get permission from the Reish Galus, I'm not allowed to. Or Dilma Alpha Gabdalinok Rushusa, even though he didn't get permission from the Reish Galusa, Dinea Din, the Din is a Din. Meaning like this. In the time of the Gemara, because the Jews were still under, they were in Babel, but they were under Babylonian rule. So the Babylonian government appointed what was called Reish Galusa, the head of the Galusa, the head of the Golus. He was like the government power and authority for the Jewish nation. Okay? The Jews had their own autonomy to a certain extent, but they appointed this guy. Things that went on had to get his permission. Otherwise, the government made problems.
He was appointed by Babylonians or by the Jews?
By the government. No, by the Babylonians. But he was a great, not as great as the Amiroim of the Gemara, but he was a great man. So now the Gemara's question is like this. When Rav Nachman and Rav Chiya said, we could judge Dini Mominus alone, does that mean, number one, they had the learning ability to do it and they got permission from Reish Galusa? And if you didn't get permission from Reish Galusa, you weren't to be allowed to do it alone? Or even if you didn't get permission, when they said, because both of those people had permission from the Reish Galusa, Rav Nachman and Rav Chiya. The question, what aspect of themselves did they mean? Did they mean the learning ability? Even if I didn't get permission from the Reish Galus, I could do it? Or only if I got permission from the Reish Galus? That was Gemara's question.
I'm just, there's a vav.
Huh?
Ooh.
No, the Gemara says Oy Dilma. That's the question. Unik tine and I got Rishus Oy Dilma. I forgot, even though you didn't get permission. That was the Gemara's question. Do you need permission to do it? So the Gemara says Toshma. I'll show you what it is. The Marzut by Rav Nachman Don Dina v'Tom. Marzutra, the son of Rav Nachman, sat alone in a case and made a mistake. He ruled wrong in monetary cases. Also, the comment of Rav Yosef, so Rav Marzutra came before Rav Yosef to ask, does he have to compensate the party that he paskin wrong against? Rav Yosef said to him, in kiblo layu, if they accepted upon you as their judge unconditionally, like to Shalom, you don't have to pay damages. V'ilay, and if they didn't accept you, you know, unconditionally, zil shlim, go pay him. Shmami, I'll explain in a second. Ki loy nakad rishusa, that even if you didn't get permission, dinei adin, because he never got, he didn't say if you got permission from the Reish Galusa. He said, did they accept you or not? We say that even if you didn't get permission, your verdict is valid. Okay? That means the judgment is binding. Okay, let's discuss it like this. There's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch. What happens if a judge makes a mistake in a ruling? Okay? Let's say you damaged me. I mean, you damaged somebody. And I ruled, you have to pay. And then I realized that was wrong. I was wrong.
You have
to pay. So sometimes the judge has to pay from his own pocket. Sometimes the judge doesn't have to pay him from his own pocket. Meaning, so the Gemara is saying over here, what does this Braisa say? What did Rav Yosef tell Marzutra? Because Marzutra made a wrong ruling. Now he came, he's a frum Jew. Marzutra was a great Amir of the Gemara. He came to ask a Shaila, do I have to pay the litigants because I ruled wrong? So what did Rav Yosef tell him? If they accepted your ruling unconditionally, then you don't have to pay, because whatever your decision is, they accept it.
The litigants.
If they didn't accept you unconditionally, that means you did it on your own, then you have to pay. Now, even if he has to pay, that means the verdict is a verdict. Because if he doesn't have to pay, regardless, that means a verdict is not a verdict. For instance, the Gemara says, and this we're going to learn a lot later in the Gemara, it's something called Teir B'Dvar Mishnah. If a judge makes a mistake in something which is clearly mentioned in the Mishnah, yeah? Or according to later Paskim, a guy made a mistake of an open din in Shulchan Aruch. He ruled against an open din in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah? The din is, the judgment is not a judgment. There's no case. The case fell apart. There's no case.
So why does he have to pay?
No, then he wouldn't have to pay. Because there's no case.
Can I go to higher court?
There's no appeal in Jewish law.
So will it retry it?
No.
No, that's it.
It falls apart.
The case falls apart. So therefore you don't have to pay. Because the case... Paying means the verdict is a verdict.
Yeah.
But because I damaged you, I have to pay it. But if the verdict is not a verdict, then I didn't damage you because there's no verdict.
So the money has.
So what did Rav Yosef tell Marzutra? He told Marzutra, listen, if both litigants accepted you unconditionally, then it doesn't matter if you made a mistake or not. They accepted it. Then obviously, then you don't have to pay, because whatever you did, they accepted. If they didn't accept you, then go pay. Which means again, even though he didn't get permission from the Reish Galusa, the verdict is a verdict. And if they didn't accept you, then go pay out of your pocket. That means the din is a din, even though you didn't get permission from the Reish Galusa. So Gemara says, Shema Amino, it's a good proof.
They don't go by whether he was compensated for judgment or not.
What do you mean compensated? How do you get compensated?
When people appoint somebody to judgment, sometimes they
pay. Officially, you don't get paid. You're not allowed to. They give you what's called Schar Batoli. You could have been doing something else instead.
What does the Reish Galusa has to do with they accepting to anything?
No, because he said Marzutra didn't get permission from the Reish Galusa.
So what does that have to do with the...
Because if he paskined himself And without the Reish Galusa, you're not allowed to paskin by yourself.
Okay.
That means his decision wasn't a decision.
So what does it have to do with Tuan Venitin accepting him as the...
Because it means, well, he didn't get permission from the Reish Galusa. Mazuta did not have permission. His father, Rav Nachman, had permission. Mazuta did not have permission from the Reish Galusa.
So it falls apart, the case?
The case falls apart. If the case falls apart, why would he have to pay?
About 20 and they have to pay, or the, it goes back?
No, it's okay. The case, it never happened.
So, it's